subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why, as the Quran says, it is the religion of all of the prophets, and it is the religion that was actually named by Ibrahim. He is the one who the Quran says named those who believe in Allah as Muslims. That name indicates the continuity of these teachings and this religion throughout human history, even before our Prophet existed. But within our time, we shouldn't think that the Prophet is simply incidental towards Islam, that he simply conveyed that message, and intrinsically and essentially, that message was independent of the Prophet, because it existed from before and it existed until later. Intrinsically and essentially, the basic message of Islam is independent of the Prophet, because it did exist before the Prophet, and it was the same religion that belonged to the previous prophets as well. But we have many ahadith, and we will discuss some of these in the future, where the Prophet was given a special role in even the legislation of Islamic teachings and Islamic beliefs. There is a very interesting hadith that two brothers, and I have talked about these two brothers before in some of my speeches, they are two of the pillars of the Shia community in the time of our fifth Imam and our sixth Imam, Humran and Zurara, the two sons of A'yan. Both of them were in the company of the sixth Imam, sitting with the Imam, and both of them were also companions of the fifth Imam as well. So they were probably around the same age as the sixth Imam, or maybe even slightly older than the sixth Imam. And as they were sitting together, Humran says to the sixth Imam, to Imam Sadiq, "What do you say about what Zurara claims about the prayers?" And Zurara is sitting right next to him. And then Humran says, "He goes against what you say." And so the Imam turns to Humran and says, "Well, what does Zurara say?" They're speaking as if Zurara is not present. Humran says that Zurara says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delegated to the Prophet the times of the prayers. So the times of the prayers, they were legislated by the Prophet. And then the Imam says, "Humran, what do you say?" Humran says, "I say what I have heard you say, which is that Jibreel showed the Prophet the times of the prayers, and the Prophet only announced the time for Fajr and Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha based on what Jibreel had showed him." According to many ahadith in Sunni and in Shia sources, Jibreel came twice to the Prophet. On the first day, he showed the Prophet when each prayer's time begins, and on the second day, he showed the Prophet when each prayer's time ends. And so Humran says, "This is what I say." And Imam Ja'far Sadiq, he smiled and he said that, "Well, Zurara does not say anything different from what you say. The Prophet was shown the times by Jibreel as a matter of inspiration or as a matter of divine illumination. But then it was the Prophet who on his own authority specifically legislated those times for the community." And that might be one of the reasons why, if you look at the Quran, it doesn't mention the specific times for the five prayers that we pray as Muslims. Because that was not legislated specifically by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through revelation, but the guidance was given to the Prophet and the illumination was given to him, and then the Prophet on his own authority legislated those prayers. And so it's important for us to realize that the Prophet himself as an individual had an important part in the legislation of our Islamic teachings. So the Imam says, and we have different ahadith where our Imams would emphasize that it is the Prophet's teachings and the Prophet's authority and the Prophet's person that are central to Islam and to the teachings of Islam. And this was something which the Imams would do in contrast to those who would sometimes exercise independent reasoning and ignore the Sunnah or the conduct of the Prophet. Or else, they would take the conduct and the Sunnah of some of the companions, which sometimes conflicted with the Prophet, and regard it as equally authoritative as the practice of the Prophet himself. So in contrast to that, the Imams emphasized that Islam, yes, it is the religion of all the prophets. Yes, it is the religion of Tawheed, but the Prophet has an important and a central part in the explanation and even the legislation of its teaching. So it is al-Muhammadiyya and it is as-Samha. It is an easy and a very basic religion that all people can practice. It isn't something we should consider difficult and hard to practice. And it is defined by the same basic teachings that we have seen before, the establishment of prayer, giving of zakat, fasting the month of Ramadan, hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obedience to the imam, wa ada'i huquq al-mu'min. And the fulfillment of the rights of our fellow believers. So here the imam adds one other important principle that a Muslim should live by, that just like prayer is an obligation, just like fasting is an obligation, zakat and hajj, similarly, the rights of our fellow believers are an obligation that we should consider an act of worship to fulfill. We shouldn't consider this tangential or incidental to our life as a Muslim. This was an important part of the Prophet's character, an important part of the Prophet's teachings, and it is part of what defines the life of a good Muslim. Right? Sometimes we think that a person can be religious because they worship well in that limited sense, even if they are not the best person for the community. Even if they are not the best person at finding out what are the needs of their fellow brothers and sisters and fulfilling those needs. But that is not what makes a person a good believer. Just as if I'm very kind and generous but I don't pray and fast, I might be a virtuous person in a limited sense but I can't be a good Muslim. If I do pray and fast and I don't fulfill the needs of my fellow Muslims, I can't be a virtuous Muslim as well. So it is this combination which defines the Sharia and the teachings and the conduct of the Prophet of Islam. Salawat. And one more hadith, I will just translate it because it is related to the previous hadith and it explains a little bit about what is meant by as-samha, the easy religion. This hadith is also from our sixth imam, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَلَّفَ اللَّهُ الْعِبَادَ إِلَّا دُونَ مَا يُطِيقُونَ. That by God, Allah has not made obligatory upon the believers except less than what they are able to do. Right? Allah has made obligatory on us not what is what we are capable of, but what is within our wus, what we are easily able to do. We should never feel that our obligations, our religious obligations, are a burden or that they make life difficult for us. إِنَّمَا كَلَّفَهُمْ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَّيْلَةِ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ. He's only made obligatory on them in the entire day, 24 hours, 5 prayers. وَكَلَّفَهُمْ فِي كُلِّ أَلْفِ دِرْهَمٍ خَمْسَةً وَعِشْرِينَ دِرْهَمًا. And out of every 1,000 dirhams that they save for an entire year, they are only required to give in the way of Allah 25 dirhams. That's 1/40, and not 1/40 of a person's earnings, but 1/40 of what they have saved and they haven't used for a year, whether it be zakat, and similar but slightly different rulings apply to khums as well. وَكَلَّفَهُمْ فِي السَّنَةِ صِيَامَ ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا. And he's made obligatory on them in an entire year, only 30 days of fasting. وَكَلَّفَهُمْ حَجَّةً وَاحِدًا. And he's made obligatory on them a single pilgrimage in their entire lives. وَهُمْ يُطِيقُونَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. But they are able to do far more than that. And inshallah, we should strive to do far more than that, even in our acts of worship. But the perspective that we should have is clear from this hadith. It shouldn't be that we have to do 5 prayers a day. We only have to do 5 prayers a day. We have to fast 30 days out of the year. We only have to fast 1 month out of the year. A person, if they really wanted to see what they were able to do, they could probably fast the entire year, or at least half the year, without any difficulty of any sort. We only have to give a very limited amount of zakat, or khums, and a very limited amount of effort that we have to put in Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not asked of us more.